Thanks for checking the show out tonight. I really appreciate it here on a Thursday. We missed out on Monday because I was away and I was tired. That's all it was to it. But thanks for checking the show out tonight. Hey, we really appreciate it. If you dig our guest tonight, Casey Schiller, follow him at STL Pastry on Instagram. He's a great guy. I'm sure he'd love to hear from you. And also, if you have 2 seconds, on them iTunes or Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating and subscribe. We really appreciate it. It does a lot for the algorithm. One of these days, I'll find out what algorithm means. Let's play some dramatic music and start the show. Thanks again, guys.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray. You can say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch your future fade. I came to play to get my dues paid. I guess you had a dream, but it can't be saved.
Everybody, how you doing? Happy Thursday. Yes, it's a Thursday. Happy Thursday to you. I hope your week's going well. Hope everything's been well for you this week. Usually I just give you a greeting for the week to come, but the week is already happening, and I'm sure for most of you, you're getting your work week started. That's Friday and Saturday as they loom here on the horizon on the twilight of a Thursday night. As we get ready for another busy-ass weekend. It's Cinco de Mayo, too, so I'm sure you guys all are going to be working your asses off. Much props to you out there. I appreciate all the work you're doing. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. I'm your boy, Chef Plum. Hanging out tonight on a Thursday. And I'm doing Thursday because I had done like a 15-day straight work scenario. Capped off with being a judge at this year's Pro Start Nationals in Providence. Pro Start, for those of you who don't know, is the high school program that is funded by the National Restaurant Association's Education Foundation. And basically, I was honored enough to be a judge in the culinary field, judging entrees at this year's national tournament, which was, there's, 48 different teams that have all won their state competitions to make it. Pretty awesome, man. What an experience. Very, very chefy. We'll talk a lot about that tonight with our guest, the one and only Cupcake Casey, a.k.a. his real name, his God name, his Christian name, Casey Schiller. Casey's awesome. I met him this weekend, man, and he's one of those guys that you just meet right off the bat, you love. And not only is Casey an amazing pastry chef and the 2012 Chef Educator of the Year and a 2-time Cupcake Wars champion, Casey also knows where to find the best hot dogs in Providence, Rhode Island. We're going to talk about that a little bit, too. It was ridiculous. He had them brought to us in our hotel by Uber Eats, which I cracked up about. It was the best. Casey's a doer, and I love doers. Doers make me happy. So, having a good conversation with him tonight, man. Just fell in love with the guy. He's a great dude. I can't wait to talk to him when you guys meet him. He's awesome. This week's going to be pretty fun, man. I am officially done working for a couple of days, which is great. I got one of those random weekends off, which I'm excited about. I'm going to be in Lake Placid this weekend for a wedding. Yes, Lake Placid. Where is Lake Placid? It is upstate New York. Supposed to be very beautiful. I've never been up there, but I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun, right? I mean, it's a wedding, so I hopefully will hang out at the wedding and have some cocktails and have a lot of fun doing it. I'm sure we will. Weddings are fun, right? I like weddings. It's not my wedding. I had a wedding. My wedding was a long time ago, but other people's weddings, so it should be fun. It means open bar, usually. And, chef's open bar, what are you going to do? Don't hate on me, right? Way we go. That's my plan this weekend, so that's why I thought Thursday night would be a great night for the show. I knew that I would be well-rested after a long extent of working. I can come on here and throw some fire through this via microphone. So that's what I'm planning on doing tonight. Well, not even all that. Just having a great time with it. Hey, we're proud to announce. Really fun. We are now officially on iHeartRadio. Not sure if that's a big deal or not, but it's pretty cool to me. Another outlet to find this program on iHeartRadio. So if you have the iHeartRadio app on your phone, just type in Chef Plum and we pop right up. So make sure you check it out there. We're on the podcast. You can't listen live there yet. But you can check the show out via podcast there. So please, we always appreciate all the support. So thank you very much. I wanted to bring up something interesting. And I want to talk to Casey about this too. What do you guys think about this, man? I mean, there's no short two ways to say it. These shows like MasterChef, these shows like Chopped Junior, they have these kids on there. The kid wins or comes in second or does pretty well for himself. Afterwards, he now insists on calling himself Chef. Oh, boy. I don't think I've talked about this in a while, but honestly, it bothers me tremendously. To me, and listen, I know the word chef is very bastardized these days. I mean, anybody likes to call themselves a chef if they cook food or something like that. To me, a chef is a, you know, I've talked about it before with Brian Duffy on his show, and I talked about it here with him on this very program. Just it's someone who educates, someone who helps, you know, kind of pass the torch of the industry that we work in, that we have been in for a long time. It's someone who has the experience. It's someone who, I don't know, man. It's not just about cooking the food, is my point. It's someone who has the experience. Yeah, I mean, you have to earn it. That's exactly right. I'm getting a message from Dimitri. You have to earn it. You do. You have to earn it. You can't go in Chopped Junior and call yourself chef. It just doesn't work that way. That's not the real world. Had an opportunity thrown my way to have a person who was on. Yeah, you're right, Dimitri. It's someone who can teach 110%. To have someone who was on one of those shows, their PR people, which is just fucking crazy to say to begin with, reached out to me to be on this program. One, I was pretty, hey, I think that's great. You know, it means we're reaching a lot of people. But then they told me that it was someone who had been on one of these programs and he was 15 years old. And I said, do you think that that's a good idea? I said, because I'm willing to have him on. People, I said, he's going to come on here, but rest assured, I'm going to run him up and down. And I'm going to put him in his place very, very quickly, because anyone who's 15 years old and calls himself chef, I have a problem with. It's disrespectful to me. It's disrespectful to people who have come before me. It's disrespectful to the ones who have taught me and everything about this business and the people who are striving and working their asses off to earn that title. And so this kid's going to call himself that. I told them, I said, I'm willing to have him on, but just rest assured, it's not going to be pleasant. And if you want to subject your client to that, then bring it on. But I would take them. I would not allow that to happen. You know, I couldn't in good faith bring somebody on here who called himself that. Someone who, you know, I just said a minute ago in my phone call with Casey before the program. I mean, someone who's never, you know, done a 12-hour day and then been stuck on Dish all night because their dishwashers are out back, you know, all fucking fucked up on blow and can't do anything. You know, so you get stuck with the end of the night dishes. Somebody's got to do them. You never been there. You never done that shit. You never been there on a Friday night when two of your cooks call out sick and aren't there and you got to figure out what the fuck you're going to do. You never been there doing, you know, just, you know, 500 covers. No, what'd you do? You made some burgers on a TV show? Go fuck yourself. That's how I feel about it. Seriously. It's disrespectful. Especially coming off the event I was just at and I was feeling very chefy after being at ProStar. It's just because ProStar, it's very, very like I had to wear a chef white, and those of you who know me know that I only wear black. I had to wear white, and you have to wear black shoes, and you have to wear a toque, and you have to be showered and shaven and beautiful. And I mean, these kids at this event who have been working so hard for, you know, just a few years, they're busting their ass and they get it. They don't speak unless they're spoken to. It's yes, chef, no chef. They understand it. Now, do I think the entire world needs to be like that? No, no, no. But it's about understanding the history of the business, understanding what is important with this business. It's the respect. Because if you don't have that, if you can't keep your mouth shut, you can't learn. If you can't learn, you can't become a chef or move forward in this business. So, moral of the story is, ladies and gentlemen, much respect for these kids, these high schoolers who are in the ProStar program, these teenagers who are working hard. Much respect for them. And actually, we're very lucky. We're going to have Cherie on here soon. She's the vice president of the ProStar program. I can't wait to have her on here because I have questions. And I think it's going to be a great one. I'll prepare you guys ahead of time, too, if anybody wants to talk to her, because she's awesome. And we'll open the phone lines up for that. But I think those things are so important, man. I really do. I think they're so important. And it's about being respectful. It's about understanding that these things don't happen overnight. You don't get to go on Chopped Junior and call yourself a fucking chef. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. You just don't fucking get to do that. You don't get to. That's not your choice. You can't go do MasterChef, come in third place and be like, oh, well, now I'm a chef because I can make cheeseburgers on local TV. Go fuck yourself. You can't do shit. You want to do something good for yourself at 15 years old? Find a school and get involved in the ProStart program, because they'll teach you something there. They'll teach you the respect. They'll teach you what a bassinet is. They'll teach you what a brunoise is. You'll learn all that. You won't be taught how to melt cheese using water to make steam and then talk about how the water and the steam emulsifies. Shut up. You're just saying words now that you really don't know what they mean. Sorry, can you tell I'm fired up about this? It really bothered me. Anyway, guys, that's all I got on that. It just, I wanted you to know, because honestly, it was insane to me that someone would actually do that. And I felt kind of like being a dick to the PR team, but honestly, like, it's the problem in the world today when it comes to our business. These people go on these shows and want to come out of it and call themselves celebrity chef. Brother, I got news for you. I've been on fucking Food Network 12 times. 12 fucking times. And I've had my wins and I've had my losses. And I've never once, and you never, ever in your lifetime will ever hear me or anybody associated with me use those two words in the same sentence. Celebrity chef. Fuck that. Let other people call you that. Don't ever call yourself that. If you call yourself that, you're a dick. That's all it is. You're a dick. And you should never, ever, ever in your life also be the person who, changes their social media handle and calls themselves where you can be. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, where you can put on there that you're a public figure or whatever. Yeah, no thanks. We're not having any of that. Nope. Earn it. Let other people call you that. Just like with your food, and you're on the line taking pictures of your food. Just stop that shit too. Let other people take pictures of the food that you serve it to. All right, I get off my high horse. Yes, chef. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not a jerk. Anyway, you guys, tonight's going to be a great show, man. We got Casey Schiller on. Cupcake Casey, the 2012 Chef Educator of the Year, two-time Cupcake Wars champion, and a really sweetheart of a guy that can tell you where to find the best hot dogs on the planet when you're in Providence, Rhode Island. This guy's the man. Not only can he tell you where to find them, he can have them delivered via Uber Eats. What a badass, man. That's just badass, dude. Complete badass. Check it out. I'm going to play a song. I'm going to take a sip of my cocktail. I'm going to get geared up to make a second cocktail. And then we're going to be right back here hanging out with the one and only. listen, if you do take pictures of your food, I'm getting messages from Dimitri. But you can take pictures of your food, dude. It's fine, but not in the middle of fucking service, right? We're not going to stop service because you want a picture of your fucking filet. Not happening. Not on my watch. Bullshit. Do it beforehand? Fine. Afterwards? Fine. Not in the middle of service. That's a problem. Doesn't mean I don't love you. Let me play a song here, guys, and we'll be right back with more Plum Love Foods Live. You're checking it out. Live, right here, Blog Talk Radio. Stay right there. I'm Chef Plum.
as the seasons roll on by.
Cornell Seasons from the single soundtrack, one of my favorite fucking tracks on that album. That album is timeless to me. What an amazing album that is, man. Because it's all, I don't know, the whole fucking album is just great, but that song really sticks out, man. I spent like a year trying to learn on a guitar, and it's just so, you can't get a direct way because it's all this weird tuning, and I don't know, man, whatever. It's just, speaking of weird tuning, huh? How about that for a shagging way? It doesn't work at all. Our guest tonight, it's a really just a good guy, man, a sweetheart of a guy, an amazingly funny guy. And, you know, it's one of those people that you've met him in life where you hang out with them for a day, a night, or during an event, and you just know you're going to be friends with them because you just kind of, you kind of click. And Casey and I thought really clicked. I thought the guy was, he's just really good guy, an incredibly talented pastry chef, and just one of those guys who, no matter what the scenario is, he's going to fit in. He's going to fit in there and be able to teach people and help people and be a part of the group and be a chef and be a funny motherfucker. And just one of those people that I'm really lucky in my life I had the chance to meet and hang out with. And hopefully I get to do a little bit more of it. So, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, the 2012 Chef Educator of the Year, two-time Cupcake Wars champion, the one and only Chef Casey Schiller. Chef, good evening.
Hey, what's up, Plum?
All one breath, brother, all in one breath. Not bad, right?
I love it.
Dude, I appreciate your time this evening, man, coming on here on a Thursday night. But I definitely, after hanging out with you in Providence, man, I wanted to get you on and talk to you because I think that what you do is pretty fucking badass, bro.
Well, it's a great time, and what's not to love about Providence?
Amazing city. And before we get into all like the real stuff, I've told the story here a couple of times. Dude, you are the man. It's late night. We've been drinking and hanging out, and we were at a trailer park bar, and it just got whatever. Next thing you know, we're sitting at the bar at the hotel, and you're on Uber Eats, and you have the most amazing late night hot dogs delivered to our freaking hotel. Dude, you're a god.
I got to tell you that growing up and going to college in Providence, it just brought back memories. So there was a place right downtown the city of Providence, not far from where we stayed, right near the Dunkin' Donuts Center, home of the Providence Bruins, by the way. And they were just fantastic, greasy dogs, and they're called the New York System. And it's just a real skinny, you know, dirty water dog that they put on a little steam bun. And then the magic happens, not only with the mystery meat sauce, the onions, the mustard, but it's the celery salt that makes the deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. That is the deal. The celery salt is the fucking deal there. Mystery meat sauce. You're not kidding. It's not really a chili, but it's not really like just shredded like beef. It's so strange.
Yeah, and what's funny about it is if you actually go into the shops instead of, you know, Uber eating it, which I love that they come to you at midnight, which is fantastic.
Amazing.
But the guys at the parlor will actually like put them all the way up their arms like they're, you know, like holding fajitas to a party at 12, you know. It's, it's kind of funny. They bring them out like 12 deep on their elbow, from their elbow to their fingertips. And they sauce them all right there. So, you know, it's not only, you know, kind of shady and sketch to begin with, but then you're kind of like, did I get the one from the armpit?
I'll take the armpit dog, please. A little extra mystery meat on my armpit dog.
And
let me
you
tell
know
you
the
what,
guys
there's...
always have the hairiest arms when they're doing it too, you know?
Dude, I have it. My wife, I would do TV segments, and my wife would go, I think you really should shave your arms and shave your hands. And so one time I did a commercial, and it was for some fucking stupid infomercial thing. And I asked, like, okay, maybe I should shave my hands. I literally shaved my hands, right, up to my wrist. And then it looks like I'm wearing a wool coat in the commercial. It's the stupidest thing you'll ever see in your life. And my wife is like, you didn't fade that out? I was like, you didn't say anything about fading? What does that mean? I don't know. Jesus.
I would never be able to do any close-up stuff because I am a nail biter, and my fingertips are all chewed up. So I envy you just for being able to get, you know, like George the hand model, you know?
Yeah, that's it. That's it right there. Well, bro, we met at, like I said, at the Pro Start this weekend, and I was very humbled and honored to have the chance to be there and be a part of it and actually just sit in the room with all of such talented chefs as yourself. And talk food and be a part of the education for these kids, man. How many years have you been doing that?
So I've been involved with the Missouri Pro Star competition for probably about a good 8-9 years now. But that was my third year being a judge at the national competition. And
amazing.
I think these kids bring it. I mean, first of all, I think that any professional chef would shudder when they hear the rules. And
oh my God,
it's incredible because they have 90 minutes to cook. There's a team of no more than 4 people cooking, and they have 90 minutes to do a 3-course meal, starter, entree, dessert. But here's the kicker.
Right.
They only have 2 little clickable butane burners.
Right.
And
the kind
like
you use in like a hotel, like making omelets, like omelet stations in a hotel or campfire stove. That's a great way to put it. Like you go camping with those little Coleman, like butane can stove.
And there's absolutely no electricity. So they can't bring in anything that needs to be plugged in. So for the pastry side, you know, a mixer is our life, and you are not going to be mixing anything mechanically. You're going to be using the good old upper arm strength. And hopefully you know, as these high school boys, you know, they keep those wrist muscles in check because they got to whip some egg whites.
Here we go. Yeah. Jesus Christ. They're keeping them in check, making stiff peaks.
Exactly. So 90 minutes, 3 courses, all 3 courses have to be plated at the same time. It's not like they get to put the entree up when, you know, they get the appetizer, then the entree, then the dessert. Everything's got to go up at the same time, at the end of that 90 minutes. And they have to do two portions of each. So one for critique and one for show, and then we get one. I think it's absolutely incredible to watch four grown chefs try to, you know, each get their fork into the plate to get a little bit of everything and sample it. That's a little tricky sometimes, but it's awesome.
Bro, I'll tell you what, if you're sitting at the table with me and you know, dude from the Coast Guard, and I got Chef Yono there, and Yono shows up like he hasn't eaten in 5 days. He was looking for like a side plate in the to-go box. I'm like, Yono, what are you doing, bro? he looked for a to-go box and give him a four. I'm like, bro.
Brilliant.
What the fuck?
And
he's like, well, I got a drink later.
The great thing is, you know, it really truly is absolutely as fair as it gets, because there are four judges on every single plate. So I was joined by three fellow judges. You had three people sitting with you at your table. There were four people at the appetizer table. So
you had
really
two judges yourself and Chef Nick Kalea. So you had two great judges and an amazing judge in you and fucking Nick. I love Nick.
We definitely are a little rowdy.
Yeah, I'll bet. You know, Nick was the reason. Nick was the one who connected me in to make this happen so I could be a part of this year. So he's such a great guy, man. He's got to give love to Nick, man. He's a really, really talented chef and a very smart guy.
I am so impressed seeing his food and what he does in Boston at the Colonnade Hotel. I mean, he really is top notch. I met him last year. He judged dessert with me last year, and we just hit it off. So he was back on dessert again, even though, you know, his forte is, you know, obviously all around the kitchen. But I love having him because he and I think so much alike when it comes to flavor profile, when it comes to textures. I think all of the four of us were scoring so similarly this year.
Yeah.
It's unreal. There was, you know, sometimes you get to these competitions and one judge is just like rogue, that they're either like, they can't find anything wrong with this horseshit plate, or they're just so hard on them. And it's like, this is perfect. And they're like, four. What is that?
Yeah. Right? Exactly. Now, did you give any perfect scores this year or no?
I did give one perfect score. And I wasn't the only one to give it. All three of my fellow judges gave the perfect score for dessert to Team Missouri. I got to tell you, hometown proud. They're from the other side of the state. They're in the Kansas City side. But they brought their A game, and they ended up winning top prize. So
how about that,
we like to think that where the competition is won is in dessert, because I'm sure that you probably would be able to tell they had 27 scallop dishes as an appetizer this year. 27 out of 43 dishes were scallops. Where we had not one of the same item at all. Every single dessert was different. What was the big trend in the entree?
Duck, and everybody wanted to use the word gastrique. The fun thing that I started jumping on people about was is how many times they would just put words on a menu, like on the description. If you're the description's a big deal to me, because I think about it as a customer. I'm going to read the description, and that dish better match that description. If it doesn't, I'm going to kill you for it. I mean, it's so simple, right? I mean, if I'm reading this and you're saying gastrique and there's not a gastrique on that plate, I'm going to say, well, where's the gastrique? And they're going to say, oh, it's right there, chef. And I'm like, well, that's not a gastrique. There's no reduction there. That's no, I don't have any vinegar. What are you talking about? But for us, duck, everything was duck. And it was so much duck. And then the second day it became lamb, duck and lamb. And, you know, one of the teams that, you know, who actually served me skirt steak, I was very happy about. Unfortunately, that was the only good part on their plate, but. You know, but here's the thing about that whole process and all that. I mean, to me, it was important to get a chance to talk to the kids, right? I want to talk to them, because if you can't talk to them, they're not going to learn anything. So I really like to explain myself and my thoughts. So I loved going up and talking to them and explaining to them and telling them why and telling them what I thought and telling them what was good and telling them what was bad and being honest, not mean, but honest. I mean, I think it's good to know. And you know, I would always congratulate them on getting this far as to coming to the national. Like, that's impressive. That's the most, like, for most of them, that's the biggest competition that they'll ever do. And for, you know, it's definitely the biggest one they've done up to this point in their life. So it's very respectable to be there, don't you think?
I definitely do. I also think, though, some of these states in their ProStar programs have stronger statewide presence. So some of the teams that we see at Nationals are kind of like big fish in a small pond at their state. And then all of a sudden they get to Nationals and they just fade into the background really quickly.
Sure, sure, sure. Well, it really was awesome to be a part of it, man.
Yeah.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
Dessert gives it a chance to really elevate and show us what they got. We had cakes. We had baked elements that were incredible on a butane burner stove. So they set up a campfire
oven.
Yeah, there's no oven. There's no anything. There's no sous vide. There's no anything. And the amount of products that we saw just blow my mind. The ingenuity at the high school level is off the charts, which is great.
Man, it's amazing.
I agree. And these are the future culinarians. So I think they gave out $500,000 on Sunday night as part of the award ceremony, because every team, first through fifth, got some sort of monetary scholarship award. And then it was crazy because it was like a receiving line at a wedding. There had to have been 12 different schools that offer culinary programs or hospitality programs. And as the kids would cut off the stage with their medals around their neck, they would go by and every person would be like, I got $4,000 for you. I got $10,000 for you. I have a full ride. Like, every single person down that receiving line was just like, come to my school. We got money for you. Congratulations. And it was absolutely setting these kids up for success.
How cool is that, dude? Honestly, that's just fucking amazing to me. Like, I love stuff like that. Like, I just love the fact that, listen, I didn't go to culinary school until I was 25 years old. I had close to 10 years in the business before I went to school. And, you know, I was running a restaurant when I went to culinary school. But when I went, the foundation it gave me to understand, you know, cuts and to understand, like, I could work a line. I could slam out a line any time of the week. I could run an expo, piece of cake. But to actually understand, you know, what is a fond, how to fucking pull sugar, to understand just shit like that, the concepts behind it, understand the history of it, understand where it comes from. Like, to me, that's amazing. And the fact that these kids were in high school and they're getting that baseline information now, it's only going to make them amazing as they move forward. And to see that all these different culinary schools are there to help them and invite them, God, what a fucking, like, inspiration that is. I didn't have anything like that. Dude, I started cooking because I wanted to meet girls.
Yeah.
I don't mean it like that, but it's what it was.
It's definitely awesome. And then across the hall from the culinary, there was an entire restaurant management program where it was like Shark Tank, that they had teams of two or three students who had to pitch and a completely original design and concept for a restaurant. And it was,
and you know which
Shark
team
Tank
won
style.
That?
The team that won it, I believe, was Colorado.
Connecticut,
I know that Colorado Wilbur Cross plays,
Wilbur Cross High School in Connecticut, right by me in New Haven. They won.
Connecticut won?
Yeah, man. I've actually been reaching out to them.
I know that there were two New England teams that placed in the top five for sure. So Massachusetts and Connecticut, way to go, brother.
I've actually been reaching out to these people. I met the whole team and their whole shit when I was there because they know me from doing the show that I do. And I've been reaching out to them on Twitter. I'm on Instagram because I want to put them on – I can get them on television here locally. It'd be cool for the kids to go and do something like that locally and just kind of give them respect for it. So hopefully they'll get
it's
back
awesome.
To me.
Do you remember their restaurant concept?
I don't. I didn't get to see it.
It's got to be off the charts, though. And I got to tell you that talking with other judges on that management competition, there have been times that some of the judges who are the top in the country, all of these places coming out with chains and the directors of the new enterprise things, evidently there have been years that they want to open the restaurant that the students actually created.
Unbelievable. Wow. That's
it's
amazing,
awesome.
Dude. I love it because here's the thing, man, I've said it forever, and it's a mantra I live by, and it's one of the reasons why I love this business is that, I mean, listen, man, black, white, red, purple, Jewish, Catholic, atheist, none of that shit matters in the restaurant business, man. It's can you get the job done so we can get to tomorrow? That's what matters. And it's one of those things that I truly think sees no, you know, we're all the same. Like, we're here to do a job and get through the night and make things happen. And just to see something like that with such a diverse group of people and more people getting involved in something like that, I just think it's, dude, it's awesome. Like, I'm getting so fired up about it. It's just so great to see that. And, you know, it's becoming, for me, I started working in restaurants because I had to. It was a job. It paid the bills. I didn't have to do a lot to do it. It was great. Where now, it's a career that people fucking work their asses off to get into and be a part of. It's just cool to see that growth, you know?
I absolutely agree. And if we can start them with the right training at the beginning of their career, all they're going to do is go up. And I think that we see so many cooks that have come through my kitchens that come with a preconceived notion of, I know what I'm doing. And that notion will just get you really frustrated with the chef. So
right.
The fact that it's kind of, I'm open to ideas, I'm open to critique, I know that there's a better day and a better skill set that I can obtain, that's what it's all about.
Absolutely, man. And just seriously, what a great event to be a part of and see that. It really was inspiring for me as a chef to be a part of that. So thank you for your help with me at that. But more importantly, I want to talk about you a little bit, man, since we've gone through, we freaking stroked Pro Start here for fucking 15 minutes. Oh, the final thought with that is that, you know, a very wise man once said something, and I think it pertains to this, and maybe you'll appreciate this moving forward and telling your students even. This wise man once said, kid, you'll never know where you're going if you don't know where you came from. And that wise man was the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And that's one of the smartest things that anyone's ever said. Isn't it?
And
you
I
never
tell
know
you,
where you're going.
I heard you telling every, you closed every critique out with that exact line.
You'll never know where you're going. Don't know where you came from.
Love it.
I thought it was a good line, right?
It was good, but no one knew who you were talking about.
That's okay. That's okay. I don't think I ever told him it was Dusty Rhodes, but that's fine.
That's true. They probably think it's someone very prolific.
Yeah. That's right. They're like, oh, it's the blue-haired guy. Hey, the one thing I told them all, brother, was like, taste your food before you put it on the plate. I fucking beat that shit home with a hammer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Anyway.
And hopefully they do.
I hope so. Enough about ProStar. A great time, a great adventure. Hopefully we can hang out again and do it next year, man, in D.C., hopefully. But, dude, you're a teacher. Like, to me, after hanging out with you or even just for a night, you shouldn't be around kids. This is a terrible idea.
I'm not around kids. I'm around adults. I teach college.
It doesn't matter.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding, man. I think
it's,
you actually make
it's great
a phenomenal.
Because you could say fuck in your class and they don't get offended, nor gasp.
Even better. Even better. Well, dude, after talking to you for even just 15 minutes, man, in our first meeting and hanging out and chatting, like, immediately I could tell you're a teacher because you're so eloquent in the way that you can describe things and talk about things. And has it always been that way for you, or is that something you had to learn?
I absolutely love teaching. And my father, growing up, was a speech communication professor. My mother teaches early childhood. So, you know what? It was one of those things that I could absolutely, in my blood, was teaching. And I had no idea of this until, you know, I started actually teaching a couple, you know, about 10 years ago. So I absolutely think that it's so important to be able to really visualize what the process is by description alone, because there are so many different styles of learning that I love to lecture because I love giving the subtext to what we're doing and why we're doing it. And all of these incredible techniques that began with a purpose and that are lost now. Some of these techniques are such ancient techniques, but deserve their own right. You know, Escoffier and Carême and all of these dudes that were laying the foundation groundwork are incredible forces of our being. But you know what? Everyone knows Thomas Keller. Everyone knows Emeril Lagasse. Like, those are the names that people recognize now. And we have to give props to the great-great-grandfathers of cuisine.
110%. And I think that, you know, having school, you know, or going to a culinary school, whether it's baking and pastry or whether it's a culinary, really kind of teaches you that foundation to where you know it, you know?
Oh, gosh, yeah. And I love the fact that I get to see a student who generally comes in, especially in the pastry side, which is what I deal with directly. They have no idea what they want to do. Some of them are, you know, my mom said I had to go to college and, you know, why not bake cookies? And it's very, very quick to say that this is not easy. What we do in the pastry kitchen is so different from the savory side. And
sure.
It doesn't take long for them to realize, wait a second, this is not the baking next to my grandma that it was. However, the passion, the skill set, the love of what we are all here to do is the language that overpowers everything. You know what? In a kitchen, in a restaurant world, in a hotel world, there are specific things that have to be done expediently and professionally, and that's not what you get, you know, around your kitchen counter. But the passion that my students have when they come and they start realizing, holy shit, that's how you make an English muffin? I got to tell you, that was my aha moment when I was in school. It was goddamn English muffins in
that's
Chef
awesome.
DeMaria's class. That the second that we put these, you know, English muffins are not baked in the oven. They're kind of like a pancake that you put them on a griddle. So it's this dough, and we have a little cornmeal on it, and you put it on the griddle, and then all of a sudden it comes to the time that you have to flip it over. And the second that you flip it over, and it was like, that looks like a Thomas's Whoa. English muffin that I get out of the store package, and I know how to make it. That was my aha moment, and I laugh every time we get to English muffins
wow.
because that's where my journey started, and that was where I said, I think I'm going to like it here.
Wow. Dude, that's an awesome story, man. It really is. I just got a message from Chef Dimitri. He's a guy here in New York. He goes, those damn precise measurements, much respect. He's giving respect to pastry chefs.
Hey, I got to tell you, the first thing that I say to everyone is throw out your goddamn cup measurements. Throw those shits away. You got to get a scale. You got to know how precision works. Because I'll tell you, every single thing that I put my hands on, it will work the same today as tomorrow, as 5 weeks from now, because of the precision. I love it because everything turns out the right way, and I don't like things to go wrong. In the savory side, you know, you're making veal marsala. I love veal marsala, but I got to tell you, the dude in the kitchen on the line, he's got a bottle with his thumb over the opening of the bottle going glug, glug, glug with the marsala into the saute pan. Well, let me tell you, I love a restaurant for veal marsala, and if that's my favorite restaurant, I'm going to go there. But if tonight's veal marsala has glug, 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 and then the next time I go, it's just glug, 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 there's variance there, and it's going to taste different. So I am a huge fan, whether savory or sweet, about standardization. And, you know, I think that baker's math, which is, you know, the whole baker's percentages, and I think that I can make that work in a savory environment just as well as a sweet environment and make everything turn out perfect.
Yeah, but well, here's the thing, just to argue the savory side here a little bit. Yeah, you're going to glug, 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 and you can glug, glug, glug all day, but you're basically taking it down to nappe, which is nappe is nappe. Nappe is the same here as it is in France, as it is in Germany, as it is anywhere else. Nappe is nappe.
Sure, but you're starting with more or less water to begin with, so you're gonna cook down.
So it takes longer.
You know yeah, exactly. You might have to, but again, I think that from a cost perspective, especially from an owner's perspective, if you're going through three bottles a night versus three and a half bottles a night, you're gonna love standardization.
Yeah, but I'm a cook. I don't care about the owners. What are you talking about? I'm kidding.
Give me flavor.
I'm kidding. Ah, fuck it. Make it taste good. Dude, that's so right. And Chef Dave in Michigan just sent a message over and said, fuck, now I want to learn how to make English muffins. That's what he just said.
yes.
Hey guys, you got to make sure if you done so, haven't done so yet, make sure you follow Casey on Instagram. That's at STL Pastry on Instagram. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I got to give a shout out to my girl Holly, one of my students. She is so good at making sure that what we're doing in class, she's snapping photos, and I got to give her all the props in the world for my Instagram page. Love it. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you know, that's what I talk about the most, is mainly promoting Instagram, cause that's what I use the most. Like, I don't really use much of the shit, but, you know. Here's our good buddy. I just got a message here. Let me praise the here it goes. Fucking our good buddy Matt, who we met in Providence this year, says natural ingredients aren't always the same when they come out. Good dude, right? When they come out of the fucking ground, chefs have to adjust when to make the shit taste right, even within that variance. He's right about that. There is a little bit more adjustment that has to go involved in that. But, you know, I think there is a lot to be said for some standardization when it comes to it. You know, maybe you standardize it your own way, or what works for you as a chef in your restaurant, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. But I got to tell you that's why the baking side, I love precision, and but I'm a total nerd. Like, I love math because I can make math work every day for any scenario. But I am in the minority with liking math. But that's what makes the pastry world so awesome.
Well, dude, I think you're right, and pastry is amazing. I was fortunate enough to, when I was in school, I got asked to help out Chef Frank Volkmer, who was an amazing guy. He was doing a restaurant in Westchester at the time, and he was doing some consulting, and he asked me. I mean, he taught a baking and pastry program. Even though I was in the culinary program, we had to take baking and pastry at CIA, right? You had, basically a month of it where you do baking and pastry. And I kind of fell in love with it, to be honest with you. I loved making bread. Like, I was all in, dude. But he asked me, he's like, can you come help me? Because he needed someone who could work a line, who could fucking sling desserts out from the patisserie station. He needed that. And so, it was awesome to have a chance to go do that and be a part of that. So, you know, I much respect for it, man. Much respect.
Yeah,
for it.
And
Matt also.
The culinarians really, really well-rounded. Today's kitchens, the salad station is going to need to help with desserts. The desserts person can't just be like, oh, for the first, you know, hour of service, I can just sit there and watch everyone. They need to know the culinary side. The culinarians need to know the pastry side. It is important even in today. Most of the time what we're seeing is the role of the executive sous chef is kind of a crossover job between savory and pastry, because most places now aren't in the position financially to have an executive pastry chef and an executive sous chef. So generally, right, the executive chef handles everything. Executive sous got to kind of run circles around making sure everyone is taken care of, including pastry.
Well, I want to point out too, just so people know, I mean, chef's not just a pretty face, but, you know, he's got a lot of experience also working in the business as well. I mean, working at a country club, working in hotels, and working your way up as a pastry cook, like doing your thing, you know. It's not like you just went into teaching, like you've been doing a lot actually in the business itself, right?
Yeah, I've been really lucky in my career to have experienced the restaurant world, the fine dining world, the very upscale hotel world, the corporate dining world, you know, the country club. So I've really had a great time in my career being able to experience a lot of the wide scope of the hospitality industry. And each one of those has their own pros and cons, has their own kitchen layout, their own kitchen feel, their own flow. And that's really the hardest thing for me to tell my students, is where they fit in to this huge culinary world. Because a hotel versus a casino, totally different vibe. And especially then you go to fine dining and you're only doing, you know, maybe 260 a night. That's incredible based on the fact that, you know, a year ago you were working at a casino doing 18,000 covers a day.
Man, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, you couldn't be more right about it. And it's casinos are amazing because there's less budget, you know, they just don't care. I mean, I do an event at Mohegan Sun every year, a big casino here, and they just don't give a fuck about the budget at all, which is pretty amazing.
It really is.
You're blowing my phone up, by the way. You're blowing up my phone with text and direct messages on Instagram. I've had three people just send me messages that said 100% truth Chef Dave in Michigan. He goes 100% truth about what he said about the sous chef. And Chef Damon said very, very true about the sous. And so it's everyone's agreeing with you.
Awesome.
I told you, man, as a chef, a show here that we do, it's all for chefs, man.
In the planet.
It's all chefs, brother. We just come on here and listen to shit. On Monday nights, it gets crazy. But Thursday night, some guys are still working, you know.
Well, yeah, but still, you got a cocktail. You gotta love it.
That's right. So listen, man, I want to ask you about Cupcake Wars. I'd be remiss if I didn't come in there and talk about that a little bit. And, you know, I've done a little Food Network stuff myself. What years was it you did the Cupcake Wars thing?
So we were 2012, 2013, and 2014. So made three appearances on the show. It was right at the infancy of the show. So we, being a consultant for a big cupcake shop here in St. Louis, you know, we had seen, you know, they aired this new show, Cupcake Wars. So we were watching and we're saying, this is right up our alley. This is really, really great. About halfway through that season, we got a call from a producer saying, hey, have you heard of Cupcake Wars? We're like, yeah, we're watching it every week. And they said, would you, is it something that you're interested in? And we're like, hell yeah. So,
right, so I got to stop you really quick. It wasn't a producer that called you. It was a casting producer who called you, which, by the way, are third-party people that are hired outside by a production company after they've been greenlit from the network. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so this was definitely this was the production company that was producing the show that then aired on Food Network. You're absolutely right. So we got our stuff to them. We actually, if you YouTube, we're out there with our audition video is the most amazing cheesy video, a la Rocky style. It was great. My partner in crime is Dana Holland, who is a phenomenal chef at the Cupcake Bar. We have a whole cafe, so he's awesome. We're both big guys, and we both have girls' names. I'm Casey, he's Dana. So we just kind of played that up. We sent it away to them, and we heard nothing. Absolutely nothing. We followed all of the judges and the hosts of the show on Twitter. We saw that they were going into production for season two, and we said, well, we're fucked. They didn't like us.
Until all of a sudden they call you and say, hey, and then there's a really good chance you're going to be on the show. Can you leave next week? We're going to send you the contract. Can you sign it like the next 5 hours and send it back to us?
They gave us about 4 months. They said, hey, we found your tape. The person, obviously, they go through, you know, the turnover on these casting producers are like water. So the person that we had submitted to wasn't there. They found our tape and they loved it. So then they said, hang tight. That meant we had no clue what was going on. 4 months later, we get the call saying, you're in season three. These are the production windows. Now, I teach full-time, so we were very specific about the production window, had to agree with my teaching schedule and being able to get some time off. So, of course, the first thing they make you do is sign a non-disclosure. So you can't tell anyone what's going on. And it was really funny because they thought that I wasn't going to tell my wife what was going on. They said,
they're the best, aren't they? No one.
Which is hilarious.
Wait.
So
can I just stop it? Can
I
stop you really quick?
Yeah.
Listen, so I was on the first season of The Taste, right? And clearly, like, everybody in my family knew, my wife and kids. And the teaser comes out, right? The teaser comes out for the show. And I'm in the teaser making jokes and being stupid. I take a screenshot of the teaser and make it my Twitter sig pic, right? My signature pic on my Twitter.
Yes.
I get a phone call about 2 days later from the producers talking about they're going to sue me for millions of dollars. I broke my contract and I broke my non-disclosure. And I'm like, motherfuckers, I am in the fucking teaser. You're airing on ABC. What are you talking about?
Right. And that was funny because they said the same thing to us. You know, right before we aired, we said, well, can we say? And they said, if you see your face on TV, you can say, watch Food Network. You know, but we couldn't give out, we weren't allowed to give out any specifics, but they did say you could tell them to watch Food Network on June 28th, but you can't say it unless you see your face on the trailer.
Oh, and by the way, don't tell your wife and family, all right? Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah, exactly. No, no, no. They still don't know, which is odd. But
oh, good.
So then they we finally agreed to, you know, I had to like redact. I felt like I was working for the government at some point. I had to redact my contract and black out all of this stuff so that the president of my college could green light some time off that's kind of outside of, you know, normal time off. So it was hilarious to me that I'm giving, you know, my college president this black marked up, you know, that every three words is visible to be able to green light me going to LA for a week.
You could have told them.
Which
they
is
never
a great thing. But yeah, you're absolutely right. They don't give you much time in the turnaround. They work so quickly. In fact, they wanted us on another program, and they were talking, oh yeah, that it's going to air in about 3 weeks. Unfortunately, there's a lot of TV magic that we're responsible for on that show, and just we weren't going to be able to get the magic ready in three weeks.
Wow. So you go on, you win. Amazing. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Is there a prize for that? Did you win money for that or no?
So there, it's a prize money at $10,000.
Okay.
But you got to realize that the producers provided zero ingredients. We had to bring every single item with us. Eggs, milk, butter, chocolate, flour, every single ingredient we had to bring. So the first time we were on, we brought a U-Haul truck. We had our owner drove a U-Haul truck from St. Louis to L.A. With all of our stuff in the back. Second year, we sent it via semi-trailer. We got a pallet. We sent two pallets of stuff via semi, and then the third episode, we rented a U-Haul truck and drove it out there. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into it, and that $10,000 basically just got to pay our bills back from all the expenses that we incurred.
All right, slow down a second. Hang on. All right, so I've done Food Network probably 10 times, right? Yeah, I've won Chopped, Guys Grocery Games, America's Best Cook. I never had to bring any of my own ingredients, even Guys Grocery Games, season one, episode two. It's in a real grocery store with all the real shit in there. You mean for Cupcake Wars, you had to bring your own fucking ingredients?
Everything.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So we flew in. Funny enough, so I was not going to chance the flour and everything else that I'm used to having the Restaurant Depot in LA having the same brand.
Yeah.
So that's why I trucked it all there, because I didn't want to get to LA and not be able to find the stuff that I need to be comfortable competing on a national program.
Wow. So now, what does it cost to ship shit?
Again,
you're shipping things on the truck.
The $10,000, we were able to pay all the bills for practice and all of the TV magic that goes into it.
Well, and the best part is too, is that you say the $10,000 paid for that, but if it's anything like what the stuff I've done, whenever you win, they don't pay you till like 6 months after your show airs, and they kind of hope you get hit by a bus, so they don't have to pay you.
This was kind of the same thing, but you know, they always throw the, if there's any word that breaks that you won before, you know, the final word on June 28th, which was the day we aired, you won't get the money. So we were able to keep a $10,000 secret.
Wow, that's hysterical, brother. I've never heard of such a thing. I kind of want to
run
them up and
down.
So
the cool thing is all of my research and development, you know, so I'm consulting at the cupcake shop, but we couldn't tell any of our staff there because, you know, for obvious reasons. So I would do all my research and development out of the school. So I would have a couple of students every day. I'd say, hey, I want to try this, you know, let me try this recipe out. And I'd write it down and give it to them, and they'd scale it all out. And then I'd mix it and bake it and try things. And they had no clue. They were just thinking, I was just trying something, you know, for class. And then it was funny because when it aired, they realized that they had done all of the product testing for the cupcakes that I was wanting to do.
That's great. had no idea. And then all of a sudden,
they had no idea until it aired. They're like, that's what we were doing. Cause I would make them, you know, I knew that I wanted a chocolate cupcake. So I wanted to play with, I wanted in my spiral notebook that I had all my recipes in. I wanted a chocolate cake that if they give me something like sour cream or yogurt or something like dairy based, I want a chocolate cake if they give me something with fruit base. I want a chocolate cake if they give me something spicy. Like, so I had all of these different contingency plans based on what those secret ingredients were.
Wow, how about that? On Instagram, I want to read you something really quick. Shane McCrady on Instagram says, Casey Schiller is an amazing chef and person. He has been the biggest influence in my life and has helped carve my life as a young chef. Happy live casting, hashtag mentor for life. How about that?
Awesome. Can I take a second about Shane McCrady? This kid
please.
Is about to compete in July in Malaysia, representing not just the U.S., not just North America, but he is right now the best student chef in the Americas, North America, South America, Central America. He won an international competition last July, and now in this coming July, he's going over to Kuala Lumpur and putting it all on the line against seven other countries or continents. Different, you know, I guess Asia's got a couple of competitors. Europe's got a couple of competitors. So there's seven other competitors, and he is the guy representing the young chefs of the Americas. And
wow.
He is a graduate of mine. I am just so proud to watch him come up through the ranks, and he is going to go on to some amazing stuff.
Dude, just what great words to hear from students and stuff like that, man. I mean, just to hear from, you know, people who worked with you or people you've affected in life, man. I mean, seriously, that's what it's all about. And that's what it being a teacher is about. And to me, it's what being a chef is about. It's having these people come back to you and say, you taught me so much, or you helped me out so much. And just even see in a public forum like that, someone to say that about you, it's got to feel great, right?
Oh my gosh. I mean, that is beyond words. And I got to tell you, that's why I love teaching. I think that what my role is in this culinary world is to pass on as much knowledge as possible that is in my head so that it can be living on in infamy. I have a really hard time with country club chefs and other chefs
sure.
that are kind of like, no, my secrets are my secrets, and I'll come over and I'll add my special bop, bop, bop because I don't want anyone else to know what goes into it. You know what? Those 11 herbs and spices, you can find them on Google. So there should be no secrets in our world, because what our job is to make sure that the next generation of culinarians have the opportunity to not only honor their past, but to carve their own way into the future.
Wow, well said, brother. Well said. I couldn't agree more, man. I mean, I don't know. I got nothing to add to that. That's just an amazing, incredibly well said. I mean, anyone who is still in this day and age wants to keep things secret, they're dumbasses. I mean,
absolutely.
Honestly, I was shooting the episode of the TV show at a restaurant. And I said, hey, so what do you put in? He goes, if I tell you, I got to kill you. And I looked at the guy and I went, really? Really? Like, we're still doing that? Like, really?
We're still doing that. Guess what? It's oregano. Okay.
Yeah. And it's dry oregano with that. You're acting like it's fucking powdered unicorn horns. Go fuck yourself. Jesus Christ. By the way, I want to point out to you, you asked me if this was a PG show or did you have to follow the FCC rules. I don't think you've cursed once yet. You've done very well.
No, I think I have, but it's all right.
Oh, no, man. I don't know. All right, so listen, here we go. The time is just, here we are. It's past 11 o'clock on the East Coast and 10 o'clock on wherever the fuck it is that you live. I didn't know there was other places besides the East Coast, to be honest with you. I just wasn't aware.
I did a lot of time on the East Coast. I love the East Coast. But that was why I was getting seafood everywhere we went this weekend, because we have the Mississippi River.
Delicious. What do you have? Shad? What do you guys eat there?
We got a lot of catfish.
Catfish. It sounds delicious. I love it. Well, bro, I think it's amazing to talk to you. You guys, please, if you haven't done so yet, follow STL Pastry on Instagram. That's my man, Casey, here, an amazing chef, a great guy. Dude, you're so easy to talk to. You really are. You just, you know when to chime in. You're good at it.
Thanks, Plum.
I was hoping you'd give me a little more there so I could take a sip of my drink, but you didn't.
Oh, sorry. Hey, guys, I got to tell you, Chef Plum is absolutely amazing with the blue hair and the just, you know, squeeze the lime.
Blue
make
hair.
Sure you squeeze the lime in the vodka. So.
That's right. So listen, I'll do a quick little speed round with you, brother. And
all
right. Actually, before we do that.
My Uber Eats just showed up. Hold on one second. My Uber Eats is here. Hold on.
Fuck. He's got some fucking problems. I gotta
tell you, is it okay to eat in my own home, or is the bartender gonna look at me like I gotta get out of the house?
Oh, that was funny. Yeah, the bartender wanted to kill us. So listen, before I get into it, I was talking in the intro about how I got asked to have a 15-year-old kid chef on this program, which I was two things. One, I thought it was really cool that people who are completely outside of my demographic of people I talk to and deal with had reached out to me, this PR firm. Which, I mean, definitely shows you the reach of the program. I was excited about that. But the person they presented to me was a celebrity chef. I'm not going to say his name. He was a semifinalist on MasterChef. And my next question that followed was, how old is this guy? And they said, well, he's 15. And I went, wait. So you've already pissed me off once by saying the word celebrity chef. Like, and to me, that's just like, kill yourself. Don't say that. Just fucking kill yourself. Right. Number two, you're 15 years old and calling yourself chef. Just so you are aware, I have worked my ass off for that title. I have a degree from CIA. I have won awards. I have worked at a Michelin star hotel. I have worked at a five-star AAA mobile rated hotel. And I've slaved for over 25 years. Bro, I've been being paid to cook food since 1994. Yeah, that was math we did like 2 weeks ago. No, not awesome. Yep. That made me realize how old I was. That's not good. It's not good.
No, listen, I'm younger by a week, I think, right?
Yeah, we figured out by just a couple of weeks. It's not much. But nonetheless, years. And I honestly feel like I'm more of a chef now at 40 years old than I ever was at 35 or 30, you know? And I was even hesitant to use the term then. How the fuck is some 15-year-old kid going to call himself chef? Please take the floor.
Yeah, I think that the most important thing that we stress with our students is when they're getting out of these culinary schools, they are not going to become chefs. I am so proud of the community college that I teach, St. Louis Community College. Our mentality is all about developing the hand skills to be a productive line cook when they get out. The expectation of a chef is so different than someone who knows how to cook. The chef is a mentor first and foremost. And as we talked, there's some amazing students or amazing people that come under your tutelage that you have to make a personal connection, and you start having to view yourself as being the change in their career to get them to a better place. Mentor is the first and foremost thing about the word chef. Second of all, it's a manager. So you have to not only know what each individual station is supposed to be doing and how it's run, but you need to be able to inspire those cooks that are running that station to have their best service tonight. And if you don't have the chops, that you haven't worked a broiler station when you got 13 steaks deep, then you are not qualified to stand at the pass and call
Preach.
For those same 13 steaks.
Preach.
I think that also in this day and age, the word chef also seems to be the person who's the focal point of the kitchen. And as a leader, you should bring every single person up to that focal point. Yes, there's a face. Yes, there's someone who's going to come visit your table. But while they're visiting your table, it is the cooks and the heart of the house that is preparing the food in your style that you have done a phenomenal job training them, teaching them, letting them see your standards, because that is what a chef does. Sets the standards and makes sure that every single person is delivering the most perfect food according to those standards. And most importantly, we can't forget this, a chef is not afraid to work any station. The chef is the person who fills in when shit goes wrong. And if people are in the weeds, that chef knows how to jump back and do 13 things at once to get the train back on the tracks, and is also the one who's not afraid to jump into the dish area and roll up his sleeves and start doing dishes. Most of the time, these television chefs, these young people, they would not know how to organize a dish bin versus a popcorn stand. And this is where the chef shines. The chef is all about seniority and making that life make it appear that they have given, that now they can start mentoring and bringing others with them.
Brother, hang on. I would like to nominate you for president. Listen, no matter what happens, Casey, if I have to pick, if we're picking teams, Casey's my number one pick, just so everyone knows that. I'm taking Casey on my team. He's on my fucking team, all right? I don't know about the rest of you people, but he's on my fucking team. Bro, and if you go to your Instagram, and this just came through from one of our boys listening to the show right now. And by the way, Chef Matt from West Virginia, our buddy Matt, so he just developed a crush on you after that whole spiel. So there you go. Things are going well for you. And we're going to have Matt on the show, too, because Matt's amazing. I don't think he knows that yet, but
he's
I want to hear
awesome.
His whole story. Bro, I fell in love with that guy. He's fucking dope. I was so pissed. I'm happy he saw the movie, but I wish he was hanging with us. Does that make sense?
Anyway, I totally agree.
Inside baseball. Also, just getting messages from some people here. Some people have actually figured out who this guy is. And I'm not going to say his name because that'd be fucked up. But I don't want anybody – don't anybody attack the kid, okay? Don't anybody attack the kid. Please don't attack the kid. Please do bear in mind he is just a kid, all right? He's just a kid. There's a PR group telling him don't attack him. One of the things I just love is the fact is that our friend Chef Dimitri, who is amazing here in New York City, he goes, his Instagram is all selfies and shit. So, yeah, no. That's what it just said, which I thought was awesome.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that right there shows that the camera should never be pointing at you, because I want every guy behind me to take the spotlight.
That's it right there, man. So amen to that. So truth, I'm glad. Let's all start that revolution. If you see anybody calling themselves that, you should call them on it. They're young. Listen, I have respect. You want to go do that and pursue it as a career? Awesome. You know where a great fucking beginning point for you would be? Find a place with a Pro Start program. That's a great starting point. How about that for bringing it all right back around? Wasn't that fucking
there
awesome?
We go.
The last professional broadcaster, your boy Chef Plum. There you go. Booming. All right, so look, speed round, Casey. Quick speed round. I just realized the time is running out. I could talk to you all night, bro. I'm getting all fired up. I'm trying to go cook right now. Like, I'm all kinds of fired up.
I love it.
So in three sentences, define the word chef.
I think mentor, leader, doesn't want the spotlight.
And that was like two words in a sentence.
You want me to go on?
No, that's good. That's awesome. I'm just fucking with you. Awesome. What do you think is the biggest piece of advice that you give to young people today in this business? Because I know that you are, you talk to a lot of young people in your business, but like, to young culinarians who maybe don't have the opportunity to go to a school or can't train, they're going to a restaurant to work, you know, just learn from the, you know, the old school way. What would be the biggest piece of advice you'd give them?
I would have to say find a mentor, someone who's willing to teach, someone who's there when you walk into the door, that it's not just, oh, good, you're here, get onto your station. It's good you're here because we're going to have a really great night and there's a learning opportunity that you're going to come into. Tonight we're going to do a 20 top. You've never done one. So I want you to see every angle of that. I think that the time that it takes for you to figure out if you like the place or you don't lies with, are you learning? And the time that you feel like you're going in and you're not appreciated and all you're there to do is to do the mechanics of cooking is the time to get out. But if you find a chef that will take you under your wing and just absorb everything you can from them, it's all about mentorship.
Oh, as a chef, in your world, and everybody's world's different, but in your world, as a chef, What's the cocktail of choice, brother?
I am a Southern Comfort and Lime guy, but right now, in honor of Cinco de Mayo, I got a not just a margarita, a pink lemonade margarita, because, you know, a little fancy.
You fucking fancy stuff. You guys and your fucking fancy drinks and air conditioning. Fuck you.
Yeah, listen, if we can, if there's anything pink, it's going to be on the pastry side.
Oh, shit, man. Listen, you guys, please. What an inspirational conversation tonight from Chef Casey, Cupcake Casey, a.k.a. Make sure you follow him at STL Pastry on Instagram. Just got a really great message here I want to read off to you before we wrap this up, brother. Chef Dave in Michigan says, dude, this guy's making me want to apply for an exec position, all motivational and shit. You know, it's amazing when you have somebody. Yeah, he just said that. I'll screenshot it and send it to you. Dave's a great guy, man. He's one of those guys who is working his way up and busting his ass. And he's a good brother, man. He works sushi in the morning because he wanted to learn sushi, and he works at a French restaurant at night because he wanted to learn French. How about that?
I love it. Dave, I mean, just there are such amazing things that lie in your future that, you know, don't take no for an answer. Don't let anything get you down. Even in your worst days, realize that the entire business has got your back and you are one of us and you are one of a family. So keep those eyes to the prize and never take second best as your first option.
There you go, Dave. Feel free. Make sure you reach out to Casey. He's a good dude. I'm sure he'll talk back to you. He's a great guy. Brother, what a great conversation tonight. Look, we've been talking for like a long time. We've been talking for like an hour and 10 minutes now. How about that?
Awesome.
It's quick, right?
I appreciate it.
Brother, I got to have you back on. We do roundtables at least once or twice a month with different chefs, just talking about topics in the business. And you'd be a great guy to have on for that if you're ever free.
Absolutely. Anything for you, Plum. You know that.
You're the man, dude. I appreciate that. Make sure you follow Casey at STL Pastry on Instagram. Throw him a shout out. Tell him what's up. Case, brother, I'm so glad we're buddies, man. I'm so glad to meet you.
Yeah.
I appreciate everything you do. I appreciate all your contributions to this business. I appreciate and thank you for inspiring culinarians all across the country, whether the young, old, any age range, to do better and be the best they can, because it's guys like you who are bringing up the next generation of this business.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me on. I'm so excited. Plum loves foods, baby. You know, there's nothing better. And I really appreciate being, episode 29. You got to love it.
Season 5, episode 29. So it's like episode
150
something. I don't know. But, you know, it's good stuff,
dude,
brother.
Listen, I am honored to be in the honor roll of Plum guest, let me tell you.
There you go. All right, bro. Listen, I'll talk to you on down the road. All right, bro?
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, everyone. Ciao.
My man, have a great night. There he goes, guys. Cupcake Casey, the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend. One of my favorite people. I just met him. I think tonight, ladies and gentlemen, might be one of my favorite episodes ever. Seriously, like, what a great conversation. I just love people who appreciate the business as much as that gentleman does right there. And he does. He appreciates the business. And food's been nothing but good to him, too. And, you know, we'll have to have him back on. That's for damn sure. He's a great guy. Big shout out to everybody checking the show out tonight. Truly, truly appreciate your time and listening live and getting involved and sending messages and being a part of it via Instagram and, of course, text message. My name is Chef Plum, and we'll be back Monday night with another great guest. We got Chef Brian Sow coming on, which should be awesome, from Stanton Social. Remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's give it the time it deserves. See you next week. Peace. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.